B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, fourth and final hour. Gasper giving us a little something to chew on there at the end. It's a gender-free Friday. Big Jim Murray is in for Mads. If you join us here in the final hour of a getaway day, it's coming up on 5:05 in the evening. We're brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group, BernardiAutoGroup.com, for more information. Gasper, in his sneaky little fashion, throwing out there at the end that he thinks all the Stidham we've been getting, the force-feeding of Jared Stidham, has at least something to do with Belichick's thing about proving he's got another quarterback and can develop the other quarterback. It's more about him than Brady and blah, blah, blah. It's the reintroduction of that thing.
The palace queue is back off.
Thank you, Chris. You said you had something to add to that?
Yeah, and so, I mean, look, they have all these wide receivers. They're not going to carry seven. Someone's going to be cut here. I think that might be a little bit of a surprise. This Gunnar Olszewski, wide receiver, but obviously looks to be the next in the line of like the Troy Brown, Julian Edelman, whatever you need me to do, boss, I'll do it, including playing defense last night. They can use him on special teams. I'm not going to be surprised if Philip Dorsett's cut. And that would suck for Brady, because Brady was straight up politicking for him.
Oh my God.
After the third preseason game against Carolina Panthers, because he's in the trust tree. As a Brady Bobo, I don't want to see him cut, because I can't trust some of these young guys like Jacoby Myers. So Myers has had a great preseason. Statistically, he's had the best preseason of any wide receiver in the NFL. Gunnar Olszewski looks like a pure Bill guy. Wouldn't it be just like him to cut Philip Dorsett? Because
Gunnar?
Well, yeah. And that would be, and of course, you know, the cartel would circle the wagons and say, well, no, how can he cut Olszewski when he can do all these kind of things? And look at the preseason that Myers had. Philip Dorsett, what's he really been anyway? He would be a 3 or a 4. Brady likes him. Brady likes him. That's why you can't cut him, at least in my opinion and in Tom's opinion. But wouldn't it be just like Bill? Don't be surprised. Do not be surprised if that happens.
Oh, I love it. That thing is still sort of there. Bill wants to show it's him, not Brady. He can develop the quarterback. He can win with someone else. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's true? Because I do. And I think Stidham is another little indication of it. Not that it proves it beyond a reasonable doubt, but I look at Jared Stidham and I say, yeah, Bill might have another one. He might have another one. He might have coached a guy up immediately into someone that he could. Because you could win with Jared Stidham if Tom Brady, God forbid, gets hurt tonight. And Brian Hoyer's gone. And Jared Stidham is your starter for 16 games. Do you think you're still winning this division?
No.
Yes.
No. Yes, the division's awful.
No, thank you, McCarthy. I never said the division was awful. Thank you.
I never said the division was awful.
Gotcha.
I think Stidham's just been okay. I mean, it looks like there's some upside there going forward. But for this year, I think it would be too much too soon for a rookie.
Oh, if they would win the division going away.
Of course they would.
No, I would take the Jets at 10-6. I think the Jets would win it.
Of course they would. The division sucks. Never said it didn't, Mike.
The Pats would win the division at 10-6 or 11-5 with Jared Stidham. And that's just, I know it's stupid for me to base it on preseason games, but I don't know. Stidham's a rookie fourth rounder, and I know he played under center some at Auburn, as I learned. He wasn't totally one of these shotgun option, you know, spread quarterbacks, but he was at one. He went to Baylor where he was all that, and then it was some at Auburn, some stuff under center. But, you know, I thought his footwork and his stuff under center and his play action, like all that stuff.
Yeah, the play fakes are nice. Kid's got a cannon for an arm. He's made some nice throws in tight windows. Like, there's some upside there. He's also made some foolish mistakes. But like any rookie's going to.
But if that's part of Bill's psychology, man, isn't that interesting? And
Chris dropping that and then leaving.
It's so him.
That viper.
It's okay. He gave it to us just in the nick of time. But, you know, not only do I buy it, like, I think there might be just, you know, part of that, because Bill's a competitive guy like they all are, and sure, they don't want to prove their thing. And, you know, like, that's not, you know, I don't even take that as a negative necessarily. It's just a competitive environment on all fronts. So Bill wants to prove that thing. Fine, no problem. I also sort of buy that he can do it, and he's proving it to me. That's sort of the next step. Do you believe that about Bill, that he could win with the next guy and he could develop the next guy and this thing could keep going without Brady? I believe it could. I do believe it could.
Yeah, but ultimately, I mean, you have to have, and granted, you know, Brady's such an outlier. He's with Michael Jordan, really. That's the only other contemporary when it comes to that pure psychosis that he has, this insatiable lust of winning. But you do need the it thing that Aaron Rodgers has and
correct.
Some of these other guys that have won, like Drew Brees. Brett Favre had it. Like, we don't know that about Stidham. So, yes, the coachability and to be the ability to be coached up by Belichick, that helps. I mean, look, he got the most out of Matt Cassel, who's a straight-up bum, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who I don't really believe in. So maybe they can do that with Stidham, but does Stidham have the it? We don't know that.
We will find out. Okay, to your phones, and we'll take you the rest of the hour here on Agenda Free Friday. John and Winthrop, what do you got first, John?
I've enjoyed the marriage between Belichick and Brady over the years. All the stories that come out about them seems to be that Belichick protects him with an offensive line. And he's had longevity because the Patriots know what they have. When,
okay.
when Brady said, "We're still here," last year, I always listened to him. He doesn't tell any fibs.
Okay, John, I don't know what exactly the point is.
Brady doesn't tell any fibs.
Lies to my face every day.
What about that?
Are you kidding me?
I don't think I'm a cheater.
Yeah, what about that weird press conference?
I destroy all my phones. Except I have the one I had before this one. I have the old. I have like 14 old ones, but I don't have that one because I destroy all my phones. So I don't. But his first thing was because they've always protected him and they've taken care of him. I mean, it's such a big, long topic. I don't even understand the point. But of course, Brady's benefited from what Belichick's put around him. He's benefited from Belichick. Period. And so is Belichick. Period. Story over. But do they really have a thing about proving it without the other? Like that would be. Like, to the point where, like I can understand why each would want that. Because they're competitive guys, and, like, who wouldn't want that? But to the point where it would actually drive them apart, like, that's where I've always stopped short. Like, would that get Belichick to get rid of Brady? Would that lead to Brady leaving here? I'm going to show you. I'm just going to go somewhere else because I want to prove to everyone I can win without you. And Bill's going to trade him just because I want to prove I can win with someone else? That's where I've always stopped short. I don't think they would ever do that just for that thing. Would they like that thing if it came along as sort of like a side benefit? Yes, because they're competitive guys. But would they actually, you know, force a divorce to get that? No.
I don't think so.
I've never felt that. Here's Neil in North Attleboro on the Patriots. Hi, Neil.
Hey, how you doing, guys, today?
Good. What do you got?
Good. So I was just wondering, do you think the Patriots will end up cutting Christian Sam? And also, how do you feel about Tom Brady passing to Ben Watson, the only 38-plus touchdowns?
Yeah, I think it's a testament to modern training methods, is what I think. But he said 38 to 38? He's 42 to 38.
Yeah.
Again,
right.
I got lost with that second part. What was the first thing he said?
Christian Sam. Christian will they Sam. Cut him? Yes, they will. That guy, no. He's not a
I don't even
player.
Think he's close.
Yeah. That's a part of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade tree, by the way. One of the two direct pieces of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade tree. So Christian Sam, not exactly the most successful selection he's had.
I mean, they got a million linebackers, so there's going to be someone that's going to have to go. It would suck for this. That Calvin Munson, so you watched the game last night. Like, this kid looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, like that's
he's better than Sam.
Yeah, I would like to see Calvin Munson make the team. He's probably not going to.
We've got Robert in Wellesley. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What do you got?
Well, I guess the Patriots, they're always about 12-4, something like that, right?
Yep.
So, and Miami always beats up on them, basically, once a year. Then they lose maybe one to the Jets or something, one to the Bills here and there, right?
No. They're 5-1 at worst every year in the division. But what's your point?
Robert. Yeah.
Yes, Robert.
So, I guess my point is that, and you guys are going to jump out of your seats on this, but might it be that the AFC East is so bad because the Pats beat up on them all the time? So if you compare those schedules, a fair comparison is look at the Pats purely against the AFC East, what their record is there, and then take them out of it and look at the Pats against everyone else.
Robert, go do that. Go do it. And send me your graph. And your charts. And if you sleep better and that leads you to believe the Patriots actually play in a good division versus a bad one, then whatever it takes, no one should go through their life miserable or conflicted or feeling bad in any way. So whatever makes you feel better, man, go do it. Go do it. But if you think the Pats have actually played in a hard division, I just don't know what to tell you.
Just go through the list of the quarterbacks and coaches over the last 20 years.
Shall we
for
do
those
it?
Three teams?
I always enjoy doing
you'd
it.
You'd love to do it.
I always enjoy doing it.
You would actually jump out of your seat for that. I can see you getting very excited.
I do it all the time. I pull up the list. I know where they are. I'll go to them in one. I can almost do it off the top of my head for crying out loud. Greg Williams, Wade Phillips, Dick Geron.
Dave Wonstadt.
I'm just in Buffalo
the
here.
Bills.
Got it.
Chan Gailey, Cam Cameron's Miami, Perry Fuel in Buffalo. I can almost do it off the top of my head.
Wade Phillips.
One collection of suck after the next.
Some of those quarterbacks, EJ Manuel, JP Lossman, Drew. Oh, my God.
And there's still, I want to say there's end in sight. There's three quarterbacks now in the division who were drafted in the top 10 last year. Okay. To this point, the best quarterback in the AFC East in the last 20 years other than your guy is Chad Pennington. Okay? So there's now three guys in the division who were drafted in the top 10 last year, including Josh Rosen in Miami, Allen in Buffalo, and Sam Darnold in New York.
New York.
Can one of them play? Can we just get one of them to play?
I think Darnold can. Yeah.
I'm not asking for three, and two I know is being greedy. But can we get one? How about just one? How about one quarterback in 25 years who can play? That's all I'm looking for, McTakey, one.
It's historically bad, and I don't deny that. I've never once denied that the division outside of the early 2000s Dolphins, who were really quite good, and the Rex Ryan early-era Jets, the division's been lousy. The division's been awful. The only thing I just reject is you cannot determine how difficult or hard or easy a schedule is before the beginning of the season. That's all I'm saying here.
We continue with your thoughts after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Tanny stands in, fades into the end zone again for Russell. Lawson on the coverage this time. We're going to get a challenge from Pat Shurmur of the Giants. Right. There was contact.
It's not egregious, though.
But was it clear and obvious, and like you say, so egregious, because thus far the officials...
New York has challenged that there was defensive pass interference on the previous play.
Now, if you ask me going into the year here, what I've learned through four preseason games, that this is ticky-tack. It's not egregious. He turns. He looks for the ball. He tries to compete. He didn't flat-out get beat where you're reaching and trying to trip the guy or grab him. I think it stands.
No call. That's my call.
How it's been ruled.
Yes.
After reviewing the play, the ruling on the field stands as called.
Good.
There you go. Pass.
Hey, we're learning something here.
Yep. New York is charged with
I've learned more than Shurmur has in three games.
So back to the pass interference thing again. It's another little pet topic of mine. Zoe's absolutely right. They have learned what the threshold is to reverse pass interference. The league has been very consistent. We've seen it here a couple times last 2 weeks. Some pretty blatant examples of Patriots defensive backs grabbing the jersey of opposing receivers. Last week it was Carolina in the end zone by J.C. Jackson. This week it was
Keon Crossan
in the end zone against a Giants receiver right after the Demaryius Thomas fumble at the end of the first quarter. And there was no flag on the field. They go to review. Pat Shurmur throws the red challenge flag and they look at it on review. And Keon Crossan clearly has the jersey and is tugging back on 84's jersey as the ball's in the air. Clearly pass interference. And they don't reverse it. They don't throw the flag from the booth, which has been consistent. So the league has been consistent. But I think in so doing, Jim, they've kind of legalized holding on to the jersey.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way because those look like pass interference to me. Like those in two in particular, especially the one last week in the end zone of Carolina. I was like, well, yeah, they're going to end up overturning this one, and they don't. So now it feels like we're going from nobody knows what a catch is in the NFL to now nobody knows what the hell pass interference is.
So I think they're also consistent. Keon Crossan had his head turned to the ball, and they allow far more contact if you turn to the ball. And so... Keon Crossan did that. Like, I get that. So that they're consistent with that. I know that. You increase your chances of no flag if you turn to the ball. And there was a PI on a Giants player just about 5-10 minutes later down the right sideline on Josh Gordon, where he did not turn for the ball, but he didn't really grab Josh Gordon. He tried to, but he didn't really sort of whiffed on him. Didn't have near the amount of contact that Crossan did, but he got the flag because he didn't turn for the ball. But I did not think the Giants player was interfering, and I think Crossan was mugging the guy. So that just confuses me. It frustrates me. But what I really think is that they've now allowed players to grab the jersey because they're not going to review it from the booth. They're not going to reverse it from the booth. They're not going to buzz down from the booth. And I'm just waiting for that really to matter, where Julian Edelman's going in the end zone, Patriots down 5 points with a minute left, and someone's grabbing his jersey. They go to replay. It's clear that they're grabbing his jersey. It's clear pass interference. Bill throws the red flag. They don't reverse it. You're going to lose your minds.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it just feels like really what they're doing is they're backing the refs on the field and whatever their call happens to be.
And I'll tell you, but if the so on that review, the Crossan, you know, holding there of the jersey, if the ref had thrown the yellow flag in real time, no one's arguing.
I wouldn't have.
Right? Ball's in the air and he's got a handful of jersey.
Yeah.
PI. Done. So it's a...
And that was a straight tug, too.
I mean,
that
look, wasn't like we're a, showing the yeah. pictures on NBC Sports Boston. It's, I mean, so... It's a penalty in real time, but it's not a penalty on replay. I know what's going to happen. We're going to get into the season. There's going to be a real game with a real outcome where we have that exact kind of play, and the league's going to say we only are going to reverse egregious mistakes on PI. And you're going to say, well, that's egregious. Look, he's got a handful of jersey. Why do we have replay if we're not going to fix this? And it's going to be this whole spiral of suck, McCarthy.
Yes. 100%. That's the issue here. Pandora's box has totally been opened on this, all because you people out there cannot possibly.
Good job.
You cannot.
You people.
Yeah, exactly. The people, they cannot possibly handle the thought of a bad call happening in the Saints game. We get it. That was egregious, but you cannot possibly think that, well, you know, and then you are forced to implement this replay. And now because of one call, we're going to have five bad calls in a game because everything's going to be replayed. And every single Monday morning, we're going to be sitting here talking about pass interference. Well, what is pass interference? Is this pass interference? Is that pass interference? All because you couldn't handle one bad call in a big game. Deal with it. Bad calls happen. We don't need to create five more bad calls.
This thing's going to get bad.
It's going to get awful.
I think it's going to get bad. It's all well and good to have little preseason plays where it just doesn't matter. But if that were Carolina, the thing last week's even worse. You know, I think there was, I don't know, it was in the fourth quarter, they were down a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, what J.C. Jackson, the holding on the receiver there, could have tied the game. So preseason, who cares? So it's easy to sort of brush that off. What happens when that's for the game? For a real game with jobs on the line and, you know, bets on the line out there and fantasy points on the line and all those things on the line. Just wait. Just people aren't going to be able to handle it, Murray, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you're probably right, but you are being very Chicken Little about this. Like, let's just wait and see. Let's see how it goes through the regular season. Because I've done this before. I did it just last year with the lowering the helmet thing, which I thought was going to be a complete disaster, and they were calling it a ton in the preseason, and then ultimately in the regular season, you really didn't see it, and it didn't matter all that much.
Well,
and the same with the catch thing. You know, you were freaking out about now no one's going to know and that's a catch. And actually,
feels like they
got that right.
You're right. They got it right. I was wrong on that. This, though, you tell me how this is going to straighten out. Because I'm
someone's getting porked at some point. Like, there's
exactly.
I think they're doing a good job. They're being consistent with it. My point from the start has been, even if they're consistent with it, are you going to be able to handle it? Where it's clearly PI, but it's not egregious, right? It's not. Over the top, which is they're only going to reverse it if it's over the top, but it's still clearly PI. And when that costs someone a game,
We all know the way that replay trends in sports. Replay was put into sports to eliminate the egregious, the Don Dekinger type of thing or the Armando Galarraga type of thing. That's what replay was put in to sports to do, to fix. Now it's just made it worse because you've got calls like in the NCAA title game where you're Zapruder filming 17 different angles. If it's not egregious, you don't turn it over, but that's not the way it's trended, and that's not the way this will trend. 5 years from now, they'll be making that call. You better believe it.
You bet. No question. All right, Craig in Boston has a blazer here. Go ahead, Greg. Or Craig, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I wouldn't be surprised if Edelman is cut.
Why?
Well, for all the reasons that you said that Dorsett would be cut, multiply that by three. And also the same thing about he's been a liability in the last couple of years, and he's basically blew off training camp this year. And Bill's probably not favorable. And the other thing is, how banged up is the guy? He's been going over, you know, over the middle of the last few years. How much more wear and tear can the guy take?
Okay, a couple things.
He was the Super Bowl MVP.
Liability.
Where's
he getting that from?
Yeah, he's had some issues with drops the last couple of years. There's been an uptick there, but he was the Super Bowl MVP. Stop it.
Please. What are you talking about? He's amazing. But I do believe he's declined a little bit. You know, he's one of these older slot receivers who've gotten the snot kicked out of him for 7 years, and I think that's adding up a little bit. So I don't think it's wrong to say that he's sort of trending down, but he ain't no liability. He's freaking awesome. Now, does Bill want to win on his own, and does he like tweaking Brady? Yes and yes, probably, to the point where he's going to cut Edelman. Would you stop with this now, please?
No. No, Dorsett, he can make the argument to cut someone like Dorsett. You can't cut Julian Edelman or trade him.
Tom and Quincy, how you doing? What do you got for us on the Pats?
Oh, my God, Mike, seriously. Do you know how it is to keep my train of thought when I have to be on hold and listen to some of these? Honestly. Cutting Edelman now? They're cutting Edelman.
No, they're not.
Can we not please go down that road? I was calling, though, because what makes me laugh, and this is why I just enjoy this show, because it is nonstop. It's just joy for me when I get home from work. These guys that call up. Now, Belichick's been here for 20 years or whatever. Brady's been here for 20 years. Why are they still trying to tell people that they know who's staying and who's going after preseason?
So true.
You don't know. No one knows. The teams don't know. His coaches don't know. No one knows. That's why you end up with William Malloy trades and, you know, Mankins trades and Seymour trades and all these people. It's like, guy, you don't know. You may think you know. But this Olszewski kid, Gunner, I just want to call him Gunner. I love the name, right? So, yeah, that kid has played out of his shoes. He'll be the one that gets cut.
Oh, yeah, he's gone. Or Jacoby Myers, or someone that we've been drooling over for the last month. Like, this is a real find. They got a diamond from the rough. This guy's going to emerge. Gone. Like, you know it. And maybe, you know, and I'm not saying it, you know, like Demaryius Thomas. You know, why the hell is he out there? Why is he playing? That's usually a bad sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we all think he's a lock. But so something's going to happen. Something's going to happen where we go, Vlad? We spent all month talking about the guy.
And that's why, like, Jacoby Myers is a name. I really wouldn't be that surprised. I think people would overall, considering the camp that he's had and how good he's looked in some of these preseason games. But he has kind of trended down these last couple of weeks. He wasn't on the same page with Brady in the game against Carolina early. So I wouldn't be all that surprised.
All right, meanwhile, Patriots do swing a couple trades today, more trades, and another high draft pick of Bill Belichick out the door. Details here in the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all
you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, the first days are the hardest days, don't you?
That's nice of Billy. I said, play a good song. And he picked a dead song. That's sweet. It's nice. One more segment of your wonderful phone calls. Then we have the final word on a getaway day Friday. And when I say getaway day, I think they've really embraced that here at the Beasley Media Group.
I showed up here today. This parking lot, like, I laughed. There was like two cars in here. Come on. I'm like, come on. Can you at least fake it for half a day?
How many people are employed here? I mean, it's...
That's a big company.
Yeah, it is a big
company.
Multiple
radio stations.
What I love is the darkness of the whole side of the building. They have the
motion detectors.
Like most places, the lights are on motion detectors, right? So they don't waste energy. And when there's no one moving around, no one here at night, all the lights go off. The light hasn't flickered all day. I mean, a mouse running through there. But anyway, we got you covered here for the next 20 minutes or so. And then we have the baseball reporter. So we got you covered. And is Jones on tonight?
Joe Murray, I think, tonight.
Okay, well, good enough.
Friday night, Labor Day weekend special. That's Joe Murray right there for you.
Anyway, your phone's here. Sean in Quincy. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, when you talk about Rob Gronkowski and he doesn't want to get hit anymore, do you think he'd ever try to come back as a receiver? Might not be fast enough, but he wouldn't have to block or run any of those dangerous seam routes. Seems like a win-win for him if the team would be willing to do it.
So would it be safer for him as a wide receiver?
Yeah, and that maybe he could do that.
Wouldn't be here.
No, I mean, no way.
Look what Bill turned him into last year. He was more blocker than anything else. So, you know, he might be able to do that with another team, but not here under Bill Belichick. No shot.
And I just don't know how much safer it would be. It might be a little safer, but what, he's not still going to get tackled? He's not going to have to go over the middle? And I just don't see, I don't see him as that. Sean in New Bedford. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Yeah, I just got a couple comments for you. I saw that Rob Gronkowski, whatever it was, they only played like 30 seconds of it on the news. It sounded like an infomercial to me. He's wearing the CBD medic jersey, talking about how his father gave it to him, and now he's pain-free. You know, ridiculous. Well, if that's what he wants to do, infomercials, good luck.
Well, that part's ridiculous, but I thought his emotion and that stuff was real, Sean. What else?
They didn't play that part.
Well, anyway, what else?
Yeah, strength schedule. I've been a longtime fan. I was a fan of the Patriots when they were the armpit of the league. You know, if they get an easy schedule, I don't care. Other teams have easy schedules. It's all good.
Okay. Well, at least you admit you have an easy schedule.
That's how I feel.
I think that's the first step to solving the problem. Just admit it's not even a problem. Just you have an easy schedule.
And I don't necessarily agree that it's like 32 of 32 based on all these nerd stats that these, you know, like your Aaron Schatzes of Football Outsiders have, because I think that gauntlet they have in November is tough. But there's no problem with having an easy schedule. If you look at the AFC East and what it's been over the last 20 years, you can admit it sucks. It's garbage.
We've even gotten Mike and Woburn out of his hovel to discuss this. Hi, Mike.
You're not, Mike, I swear I've tried to explain this to you. McCarthy tried to explain this to you. If you swap them with the AFC South, they'd be just as dominant down there. Mike, before this team got Tom Brady, do you know who won the AFC East?
I think the Dolphins.
Yeah, right. With Jay Fiedler and Dave Wanstead, okay? If you don't have a dominant team in your division, any crap quarterback or any crap coach can put together a decent season. And when you don't have a dominant team in your division, teams aren't going crazy to try to compete with you. The Patriots' dominance created they basically made everybody else in the league go crazy to try to compete with them and shoot themselves in the foot over and over again.
I reject that.
You reject that because it's true.
No, I don't, Mike. You need to...
Mike, it's absolutely true.
Just calm down.
That's why the Jets do stupid things like trading up for Sanchez and thinking that Rex Ryan's going to compete and all this other stuff. They go all in. They go. Your cap is crap stuff blew up in their face, and then they're back in the toilet again.
So you think that the Patriots' dominance forces Stephen Stephen Ross in Miami to pick bad coach after bad coach. What does the Patriots' success have to do with Stephen Ross's aptitude in hiring good people?
Did Stephen Ross bring in Bill Parcells to run the Dolphins?
He was a president for a little bit. That's right.
Yeah. So why didn't Bill bring in a good head coach?
But Mike, how do you explain the other 18 years? Bill was there for like 2 years.
The other 18 years is because there's not a lot of good coaches, and I could go through the craptastic list of AFC South coaches: Marvin Lewis. How many years of Marvin Lewis do you compare with how many years that Buffalo had a carousel?
To me, it's just a tremendous leap to say that your success forces Ralph Wilson or Steve Pagula or Woody Johnson or Stephen Ross to pick a bad coach. Those guys are incompetent in their own right. In a vacuum, they're incompetent. They're incompetent. Woody Johnson is Spalding Smale's, you know, inherited knob who, again, I don't know what he's ever done in his life outside of being born. Stephen Ross has made bad decision after bad decision. Is it because you're good that he makes bad decisions? That's asinine. He makes bad decisions on his own, in a vacuum, in his own right. You're saying if it weren't for the Patriots, they'd make good... If it weren't for the Patriots, Woody Johnson would know what the hell to do?
Yeah, they'd like walk around in a fog simply because of the Patriots. No, it's their own idiocy.
That's ridiculous. They're idiots in their own right.
Yeah.
So if Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had never come around, you think Stephen Ross would have made better decisions? Someone needs to explain to me how that works.
No.
It's just, it's happenstance. You got amazing and great at the same time. These franchises fell apart. It's just a nice little happy coincidence. Happened at the same time. But one did not beget the other. I mean, has the Jets been chasing you, and did they reach some of those years? I think that's fair.
Couple. Right. And early on, and I know you love those early 2000s Dolphins team with that defense and Ricky Williams. That was legitimate competition in the division.
Oh, no, early 2000s it was, for
sure. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when the Jets were good, that was legitimate competition in the division. They haven't had that since. I think you'd be crazy to say that the Patriots, you know, have had, you know, good competition in the division. Outside of those, you know, two instances, they really haven't.
But it's just... So if Belichick and Brady were never here, Woody Johnson would make smart, shrewd decisions in his organization?
No.
Okay. I mean, I guess. I don't know where you get how you get that, but you do. Because you just can't bring yourself to say they have an easy schedule.
There were two big breaks that the Patriots got in the last 20 years when it came to the division. One, Drew Brees not signing in Miami. Things obviously completely changed there. Brees and Saban, that changes the complexion of the division for a decade. And also realignment. Imagine if the Colts had stayed in the division and Peyton Manning.
But again, this ain't me. It's Aaron Schatz is the latest. Football Outsiders, ESPN Plus posted a story. They did their own schedule analysis. The Pats are 32 of 32. Nana left his readers outside the office here, so I'll try and...
They're on your head, Mike.
Oh, they're on my head.
Yes.
That was so perfect.
What's it like working with a real old Murray, like a true old? That was unbelievable. That was straight out of my father's handbook. It was unbelievable that I did that. And they were on my head. Here's Aaron Schatz's first line when he gets to the Patriots in the schedule analysis. I know what you're thinking. Here we go again.
The Patriots, I know what you're thinking, Felger.
The Patriots have had an easier than average schedule in 7 of the past 8 years. And that's not going into the season, McCarthy. That's after the season is over. So I know your point about it's hard to rank them before the season. This is after the season. Last year, they ranked 28th after the season. The year before, they ranked 24th after the season. If you're going on their preseason schedule rankings, they've been 32 out of 32 for 3 straight years. So send him. I'm just reading the story.
What's his Twitter handle?
I'm just giving you the facts, and you then can do with them what. Call him. Pull Aaron Schatz there, and give him your send him your graphs on how good the AFC East is.
Stupid sabermetric numbers.
Wayne and Grafton. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, got Hoya. You got the stud man. You got your rings. You have to move on to the future. Mike, every year it's a gender-free Friday. We're both Leos. Happy birthday. You know, we have to get the crew together, go out shots and beers and a little rub and tug.
Okay, Wayne, thank you. Always has to go there, doesn't he?
Every single time.
Always right there on the line. Hi, Bill and Webster. You're up next with Felger and Jim Murray. Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mike. I was on the phone yesterday when you were talking about the NFL schedules, and I suggested that we do 2 buys in 18 weeks, and you hung up on saying me that that's no more ad revenue. I want to know how if you go from 17 weeks to 18 weeks, that's not adding revenue. You don't add a game, you add a buy, and you make a buy mandatory the week before the team plays a Thursday night game.
Because, Bill, makes the Bill, you can't sell a commercial for a buy.
No, but you have 18 weeks of scheduled games.
But it's the same amount
of games.
You're
on the week for 18 weeks.
Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, because you're going to have 18 weeks of games instead of 17.
But it's the same amount of games. You can't sell a commercial to a game that's not there. I'm saying the inventory, the ad inventory, McCarthy. Follow me.
I'm not. I'm having a hard time.
I know it's late in the week to do this.
Yes.
He's saying if you go to 18 weeks, there'll be more ad revenue in games. To which I say, why? There's still only 16 games, 18 weeks with 2 buys. So there's 18 weeks of football, but you're still selling the same amount of ads in the same amount of games. The amount of games hasn't changed. The amount of inventory stays exactly the same, whether you play 16 games over 16 weeks or 16 games over 20 weeks. It's the same amount of games. It's the same amount of ad revenue, ad inventory. Or am I wrong about that?
I think the caller is saying teams play 18 games in a season and then they get 2 buys.
No, he was talking about 16 weeks and 2 buys.
I don't know.
This is a conversation for Neil.
Too late in the week. I'm sorry. All right. Yeah. I'm sorry. Finally.
I need that stress ball you got there. Send this over my way.
That's right. Okay. Finally. The final word. It's still in the best of season because it's summer. So best of Squeaky, best of Mad Mike right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services.
Nobody
beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Absolutely nobody. All right, of course, it is best of season here on The Final Word. We've got a classic Mad Mike and Squeaky Maz. We'll start with Squeaky Maz. I think we all know there are certain words that we can't say on the air that we say during commercial breaks all the time, and Felger says on his highly rated Facebook Live off-air show.
This might be a combo. Is this the S-bag?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Billy has told me. We just all slip up sometimes, right, Bill?
Big picture, look at the situation. How about covering Randy Moss in the slot there? How about paying attention to him? How about covering the middle, you know, et cetera, et cetera? And that's one of the reasons I think the Packers are overrated. They're undisciplined defensively. And the offense is maybe just too finesse, timing-oriented.
It feels like, you know, that analogy to the Patriots is actually pretty good because the Giants went in there and beat them last year and shut them down, right? And you do look at it, and the defense is the bigger problem, Mike. No question, because if you can't stop anybody, forget it. You're not going to beat anyone. But when you look at it, doesn't it feel sometimes like they're more interested in having the offense be a thing of artistry?
Correct.
It's, you know, let's put away all the cutesy, finesse, pansy s***.
Can't say that. Are you kidding me?
I can't believe I just said that. Jimmy, did you catch that?
What is the matter with you?
Crap!
What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I can't believe I just said that. Let's put away the finesse, candy, pansy stuff, okay? Put that crap away and sometimes just run people over.
We get someone to check in on Maz. Literally, Jimmy, we need someone to come in and just take his temperature a little bit. What is the matter with you?
I've been a little hot.
I've been at this at the station 6 years. It's a miracle I've never done that.
It's all a matter of time. Yeah, You'll happens. Slip up.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it will.
All right, we got the delay.
Also, a classic Mad Mike tonight on the Felger and Maz big board. Bow to the big board, right? Mm. Felger had some thoughts on one of the write-ups on the potential Patriots draft picks.
Here's Chris Jones, Mississippi State. Strengths: agile lower body to sidestep blocks and operate in small spaces.
He's got good technique.
Weaknesses: high-hipped.
High hips. The high hips, always a problem. Good for childbearing, not so much for defensive tackle.
Draft talk is so dumb. It's not even, this is why we do this, to show you how stupid it is to talk about the draft. His weaknesses is that his hips are high. High hipped. High hipped.
I had that problem as a kid.
His belt rides a little more. You can see his ass crack. High hipped. High hipped.
He plays a little stiff.
Doesn't consistently bend at his knees. This is a stiff fella. High hipped. High hipped. High hipped. High hipped. I've never heard that before.
I like him. Good value.
Mean high hips. High hipped. And doesn't consistently bend at the knees. Who is this? Herman Munster plays flat-footed, narrow-based, inconsistent pad level off the snap, rushing upright and struggling to get underneath blockers. Sounds like my grandfather. He plays flat-footed. Who is this? Flat-footed. 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 You folks have to listen to Jones and Keefe at night. They know, they've heard of this critter, and they know he's high-hipped, and they know what his three cone drill is and where he projects on the board. They know it. They will tell you. They will spend 10 minutes on it, where this guy is going to go in the second round, and how the high hips are going to factor in. High-hipped. High-hipped. So anyway, put it on the board.
Suffice to say, they did not draft him. What's coming up on the baseball reporters?
Oh, that's right. I got to host this thing. Thank God McCarthy's here. So they've won two straight, 7-3 in their last 10. Are your Boston Red Sox 5.5 back in the wild card race? Closing the gap on Tampa and Cleveland, everyone. They're back, right? McCarthy and I will discuss and gauge the temperature of the Red Sox fans. We're feeling a little bit better about their team at 617-779-0985.
Everybody, enjoy your weekend. No commercials here. Then you get the baseball reporters. Billy Lanny, thanks so much for helping out today. And the other fellow back there, I never said hi.
Kevin,
thank you again. Everyone, great weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All-Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.